Known around the world simply as Lula, Louis or Louis, in SDO, Lula da Silva was born in 1945 to illiterate parents who migrated to industrializing São Paulo. He learned to read at the age of 10. He left school at 14, became a skilled metal worker, rose to union leadership, helped end a military dictatorship. And if that wasn't enough for any man to do, back in 2003, he became the 35th president of Brazil. A new book has been written by John D. French, Lula and His Politics of Cunning, from metal worker to president of Brazil. And John French joins me on the line now. John, good evening and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
Not at all. Good to talk to you. And we're talking via Skype. If you weren't listening, I'm sure, an hour ago, but we had some difficulty with Skype. But thankfully, it all seems to be cleared up and we can hear you very clearly now, which is terrific. Right. I don't know anything about Lula. So I know that you are world renowned. You're one of the foremost historians of Brazil. So is it the love of Brazil and your knowledge of Brazil that prompted you to write this particular book, or does Lula deserve a book anyway?
Oh, I think that Obama put it very well when he first met him in 2009 as a new president with a bunch of other world presidents. And he said, he's the man, the most popular president in the world.
Really?
It's true. He ended the second administration with 80-90% popularity and led his country through the crisis of 2008 without there being any economic problems at all, while Europe and the US and other elsewhere was being devastated.
Okay. And so tell us, in the book, where do you start? Is this his life story? Do you start with him as a child and his parents moving?
Yeah, half the book is devoted to the period up through the age of 35, which is the period in which he was raised, educated, became a worker, entered into the union movement, along with his brother, who was a communist, although he wasn't a communist, and then became the leader of the union of metal workers in the Brazilian Detroit, an area with 125,000 metal workers in his constituency, and all of the five of the world's largest auto companies, including a 40,000 worker VW factory.
Wow. I presume that if you rise through the ranks in a union, you know politics, you know how to play politics, you know how to give and take, you know what you want before you enter the room and have it coming out. So I suppose it was a natural progression for him to move into politics, but was he ever expected to be the president of Brazil?
I first started studying, first went to Brazil to study Lula and the metal workers in 1980, at a time when a third big strike that he had led had gone down to a disastrous defeat with 15,000 people fired. The union intervened and him in jail. And nobody, if you'd asked me then if I thought he would have become president, it was under a military dictatorship, I would have said no.
Okay.
And even in 1989, when he came in second in the presidential race he ran in, where he got 45% of the vote, if you'd asked me if he would become president, I would have said probably not. Brazil is a very authoritarian country, a country that is very closed to upward mobility of such a strong thing, especially for somebody who was a leader of a socialist party and really quite radical, especially in the 80s.
Now, you mentioned the comments that President Obama made when he met him back in 2009 as a new president. And I see that you basically have also said that Lula was uniquely equipped to influence the authoritarian structures of power in his developing nation. His cunning capacity to speak with and not at people and to create shared political meaning was fundamental to his political triumphs. He was a communicator then, and that is really his strength, was it?
I think that's a communication is really about relationships. And this is a study of leadership is about relationships. Mm. And this is a study of how he perfected not only what he says, but how he acts, how he calculates. And it's based upon the idea, on the sort of the rules that people on the bottom of authoritarian societies realize. His brother was a rebel and became a communist and believed in frontal combat and paid the price for it, including being arrested and disappeared for 3 months and tortured in 1975. And Lula, on the other hand, was very much the good boy, somebody, he became a skilled worker and somebody who knew how to relate to people above him, below him, and not to let himself be captured by other people, to maintain a level of independence that allowed him to aggregate people around him. And that's how political power is created.
Okay. When he was looking for the job as president, he would have made certain promises. Did he keep his promise? And was he a good president? Did he keep his promises, I mean, and was he a good president?
When he won the second round in 2002, he made a pledge, which was not part of the platform of his party, or expected, where he said that he would judge the success of his administration if he ended his term in office with every Brazilian being able to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay.
The hunger went way down. The resolution of the problem of hunger, I mean, actual starvation, through the family fellowship, which goes to 50 million people, help encourage poor people to keep their kids in schools, the raising of the minimum wage by more than 50%, and so on. So yeah, he produced a vast redistribution of wealth, which isn't enough to change the inequalities of Brazilian society, which is one of the most unequal, but which produced concrete results, much as he had promised. Unfortunately, hunger is now returned to Brazil in the 4 years since they impeached his successor, Dilma.
He was also convicted after he left office, wasn't he? He was convicted on corruption charges.
Yes, Brazil is a place where politics has always been a treacherous game of the people on top. Mm. And the judiciary is by no means separated from politics. There's an old saying in Brazil that, you know, justice for my friends, the law for my enemies. And, you know, a lot of international observers, there's a vast amount of corruption in Brazil. A lot of outside observers, you know, felt that they, you know, were taken in by a lower level judge heading a corruption investigation, who convicted him of an apartment that he never owned and an estate owned by friends that he also, longtime friends that he also didn't own. And that's the basis on which he was convicted and sent to jail in order to avoid him being able to run for president in 2018, because he would have won again.
Okay.
I
was going to ask that. How did it come about that he left office? Was it time for him to stand down, or was there not a coup, but was he ousted?
No, he served two presidential terms. He never tried to, even though people said he should try to change the rules and let him hold another term, he didn't. He elected instead his chief of staff, a woman, to be the first woman president. And she was elected in 2010 and then reelected in 2014. In 2014 with a very small thing. And then she's the one who was impeached in 2016. And that's what's produced the falling backwards into a whole lot of problems that Brazil had hoped to have turned behind it, both in terms of democracy and in terms of hunger.
You said, you told us about the good things that he did in office. And I suppose that a lot of the Brazilians would be very grateful and thankful to him and would have appreciated. And as you said, he would probably have won in 2018 if he had run again. Did he do a lot, or did he do anything on the international stage to improve Brazil's standing, or was his domestic policy good enough for others to look at Brazil differently?
No, in Brazil, he was a very activist president internationally. During the negotiations around the World Trade Organization, he led the countries of the South to try to contest European agricultural and U.S. agricultural subsidies, which were unfair to the farming interests in their countries. He also took a special interest in Africa. He opened more embassies in Africa than Brazil had ever had, and traveled all over Africa, precisely because of the historical debt Brazil has as a country, the overwhelming majority of whose population comes from Africa and were brought there as slaves.
Interesting. So where do you take us up to in the book then?
Well, I take us all the way through. I take us through the rally at the very end, when he was ordered to go to jail in 2018. He returned to the union which he had led, And I tell that story, and then his speech that he gave before he went, and sort of the acclaim. And then he's, a year and a half later, he was released. Once again, is a political factor of great significance and great importance. His candidate in 2018 got 45% of the vote against the winning candidate, who was a far-right fascist and racist troll.
And where is he now? Will he be back?
He's trying to, he said this week that he would be willing to run again. He's 75. He just had his 75th anniversary.
Wow.
It doesn't make him any older than, it makes him younger than the two people running in the U.S. On the other hand, he does have to have, the Supreme Court has to decide whether or not they're going to overturn the corruption charges against him, because it was revealed by Glenn Greenwald and The Intercept, who got the internal communications of the investigation, that the judge and the prosecutors and the police were all working as one, basically a conspiracy to put him behind bars. So that right now is there's a lot of jockeying in the Brazilian Supreme Court to see whether or not, the decision should be made at some point soon. If they do say that it was a suspect conviction, then he gets his right to run again.
Okay, interesting stuff. It sounds as though he was, what do you think drives him? He's an interesting character.
He's got an enormous love for life. He's a very, he's a very simple man. And that's the thing that's he's not somebody driven by money, and he's not somebody driven by power per se. On the other hand, he thrives off of contact with people. That actually was part of what made being jailed, harder for him. Was that he was to be isolated from people. But he's a very intuitive, a very lively person. He's always got a sense of humor. He talks soccer all the time. He personally touches people. He's just very he's charming as well as substantive and extremely smart. Since he's the first president of Brazil and the only president in the world with his type of background, most people have always tended to underestimate him.
Do you think he became such a good person and president because of the background, because of his childhood, because of how he pulled himself up by his bootstraps, basically, didn't he?
He wouldn't use that language, because he's really part of a generation of young men whose families were from the countryside, who got a chance to become skilled workers and to make a case for themselves in a society that thought, even if you're skilled workers and earn more than a college graduate, you're not equal to them.
Okay.
So there's a cultural discontent, but he represents a generation of young people and then a generation of young university folks who together founded the Workers' Party with him. So it's a coming together of people from the church, students, and people from the unions and from popular movements. It was really, the PT is the world's largest still functioning leftist party.
All right. I don't suppose we'll get to meet him in person, but we can certainly get to meet him and know him through the pages of the book, which is called Lula and His Politics of Cunning from Metal Worker to President of Brazil. It's on release since earlier this month. How is it going for you?
I've gotten a lot of people sent me pictures of them with the book.
Good.
I don't know whether it'll really sell when it's in Portuguese. That's because there's more interest in Brazil, obviously,
right,
than there is out.
Okay. Well, listen,
I'm excited.
I wish you well with it. And I'm sure it's available through our website as well at tre.radio. And as again, the name of the book again is Lula and His Politics of Cunning. John D. French, the author, thank you very much for joining us. Wish you well with the book. And hopefully we get a chance to chat again at some point in the future.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Okay. Chat to you soon.